after Dr. Lais Meyer's message this morning, our closing meditation will be the reading of a portion of the second chapter of Philippians, from which we take the theme for this annual meeting, holding forth the word of life. Miss Miriam Robinson and Miriam and members of the Women's Missionary Union staff of North Carolina compose the verse choir. Following the reading from the second chapter of Philippians, the handbell choir from the First Baptist Church of Augusta, Georgia, directed by Mr. K.D. Cochran, will play How Firm a Foundation. Dr. Carlos Lais Meyer, a Latvian, came to this country 11 years ago with his family. He has three children. His eldest son is a graduate of Harvard University. His daughter is now a student in the University of Pennsylvania, and his youngest son is a high school student. Dr. Lais Meyer and his family live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and are members of the Overbrook Baptist Church of that city. Dr. Lais Meyer is a noted European author, lecturer, and traveler. He is an educator. He has firsthand authority on the Soviet system, communist strategy, and world conditions of today. We welcome Dr. Carlos Lais Meyer this morning as the speaker for this session, speaking on the subject, world communism and its future outlook. Dr. Lais Meyer.
Thank you, Mrs. Mathis, for the very gracious and kind words of introduction. Dear Christian friends, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Baptists, I certainly am most happy to have this great opportunity and privilege and honor to be with you at this time to discuss with you a subject which today is not anymore just of theoretical interest to us, but a subject of such vital importance that it involves the destiny of the world, the fate of the nations, and what we may not always realize, more the fate of America than of any other nation today in the world. And I say this with a deep feeling in it as one of the new Americans. And of course, our own lives and future and the lives and the future of those we love dearly is at stake. And more for us as Christians, the very Christian way of life and existence and our faith is just as much at stake. And therefore, I'm so happy to have this opportunity to share with you a few things concerning it. I'm glad to say I'm no stranger to the Southern Baptist Convention, very wonderful people. Not only I have had the privilege of being in many of your churches, in fact, I am registered as one who might teach in one of your institutions with the Commission of Higher Education of Southern Baptist Convention. Out of the 326 colleges and universities in the United States and Canada, where I have had the great privilege to discuss these faithful matters, with more than 300,000 academic people, a good number have been the Southern Baptist Convention colleges, universities, and seminaries. It was my real privilege to give the annual dinner speech 2 years ago at the Conference of the Administrators of the Southern Baptist Convention colleges, universities, seminaries in Nashville, Tennessee. And now certainly I feel this is a very special and great honor to be with you. Thanks to the good offices of Dr. Paul Guerin, former Vice President of Baylor University, and thanks to the kind invitation of your President and Executive Secretary, Mrs. Mathis and Ms. Hunt. As we come to communism, the first thing as Christians, I'm sorry to say, what we must do is to bow low before God in confession and repentance, because we are facing the tragic fact that either in the second half, of the 20th century, after 20 centuries have elapsed since Christ gave his great commission, we are facing a situation when instead of having a Christian world, we are having a world which is not only divided in a death and life struggle, but a world where about 1 billion people are under world communism. About 1 more billion are pagans who do not know Christianity. And even the 800 million who call themselves Christians, only a small percentage of them are actually Christians. We should realize this fact because this is, on one hand, a tragedy. On the other hand, it is the greatest challenge we have yet faced, because we are now experiencing the inevitable results of this, what, if you permit me, I would like to call the greatest betrayal of Christ's great commission. We could have had a Christian world to a great extent, at least, if we had fulfilled Christ's great commission as we should have done and could have done. Now, however, we have not done it, and therefore we are facing a world which now makes us to tremble for our very existence, for our lives, for the very existence of our churches and Christianity and our faith, and even the future of ourselves and our children. Yes, the time of reckoning has arrived. That is where the 20th century, especially the second half of the 20th century, has brought about. Now, as we speak about communism, we usually think about communism as a political, economic, and ideological system. But communism is by far more than that. Communism embraces the whole totality of human life and takes place of anything else in any field of human life. Therefore, its purposes are, in the economic field, to dispossess the possessed, the property owners, of their property in order, as communism states, to take away the means of people to exploit other men. In other words, abolish exploitation of man by man. And as communism considers that the economic structure is the understructure on which then the superstructures of political, ideological, religious systems are built, therefore this is the first great goal in the economic field. Then, in the political field, because the property-owning class, the ruling class, uses political means as a means to impose its will on the others, on those who do not belong to the ruling class. Therefore, you see, all and any political systems are nothing but means to impose the will of the ruling class upon the rest. Therefore, all and any political systems must be crushed, and there is no exception. Then, because also any economic system, specifically the capitalistic system which exists now, built on private property, the free enterprise system, as any system, also develops its own ideological, religious system, which are meant to influence men's minds, to mold them, to make people thus think in the way the economic system is built, and make them obedient, submissive. Therefore, all and any political or any other systems, plus philosophical systems, must be replaced by the communist philosophy, which is the material philosophy, materialistic philosophy, which denies the existence of anything spiritual and recognizes only those realities that can be perceived through the senses, which means can be seen, heard, tasted, smelled, and so on, and those that can be weighed and measured, and nothing else. And any religion, as a means to keep people in submission, to create in their minds false dreams, must be replaced first by a denial, by atheism, and secondly, instead, communism then will do what religion hasn't been able to do. Now then, how to do this? Communism builds its program on the three basic concepts. The very first one, which already we mentioned, the materialistic philosophy. Then the second and extremely important concept is that environment, yes, environment, produces what plants, animals, and humans are. And thirdly, the interpretation of human history as class struggle between the haves and the have-nots, the property owners and those who do not own property, the exploiters and the exploited, and so on. And communism then pronounces that humanity, in this continuous class struggle between the haves and the have-nots, has gone through different phases already, and already has reached its ultimate stage. You see, there is even an apocalypse in the interpretation of human history as communism presents it. That already, you see, the process of human history has arrived at its final stage, when the property-owning class is creating, as Karl Marx and Lenin, and of course now Khrushchev says, is developing its own grave diggers, the proletariat. In other words, the great day for the new world to be built by world communism has already arrived. It is at hand. And therefore, then, the master plan only must be put into action and the great goal will be reached. Now then, what is the overall goal, communism then, through all these changes, through reaching these specific goals, what then communism wants to attain is this. Out of the selfish men, to produce the unselfish man, out of the evil man that can be ruthless, exploiter, who even can, in struggling for world markets, bring all wars about, and with the same, produces massacre of millions of innocent people, brings tragedies to nations and societies and families and individuals and so on. Out of this man, evil man, selfish man, to produce the unselfish man, the brotherly minded man, and when that will have been done the world over, then the new humanity will have been produced and the new world and a better world then will come about. In other words, as communism then says, all these religions, ethical, moral systems, which have pretended that they will be able to bring about this change in man, to produce this good, this brotherly-minded man, this loving man, and so on, all religions and ethical, moral systems have failed. Why? Communism says, it's because they have used illusionary means. They have used God or gods. And with that, they have tried to produce a change in man. But it was impossible to do it through these illusionary means because there, according to the materialistic philosophy, there is no God. There is no afterlife. There even is not a human soul. Therefore, you see, it already was foredoomed to fail. Or if the ethical moral systems, for instance, try to awaken and strengthen the moral consciousness in man, and with the same produce a better type of life, unselfish, brotherly-minded life, it's impossible, because this is not the way to do. The way to do is through a change environment, as we already mentioned, is one of the basic concepts with communism. Now then, how to do then in this, as communism says, realistic way, scientific way? First, the Communist Party as the vanguard in this final stage of this class struggle into which we have come, which has produced the capitalistic class and the proletariat class, the Communist Party as the vanguard of the oppressed and championing their cause, therefore, must acquire absolute control over a nation and country, because only then it can carry out the profound changes to change, recreate the environment, to produce the unselfish, brotherly-minded environment through which then man will be changed. Therefore, you see, the Communist Party as the vanguard, as the champion of the proletariat that leads, you see now, at last, the have-nots to their ultimate victory, therefore must do this and must do this the world over. And therefore, when you hear about, for instance, peaceful coexistence and all other similar things, do not be misled. As Lenin said, we're concluding agreements with these capitalistic countries to be broken when the time comes. And of course, the fact is that, for instance, Soviet Russia alone has concluded more than 1,000 agreements with many countries around the world and has broken at least one agreement, or usually several, with each one of them, including America. And as Khrushchev said recently, the same thing what Lenin had said before, repeating Lenin's words to the Eastern German communist leaders, he said, comrades, don't worry when we are talking all this, because he said, as Lenin taught us, when the time comes, these agreements can be broken and must be broken in order to bring about the ultimate victory of the proletariat led by the Communist Party all around the world. There cannot be a stop before that, because that would be the greatest betrayal of this great goal of producing a new humanity and a new and a better world. Therefore, you can understand why the communists have been working that hard as they have been working to reach this goal, because this is the great goal. And it certainly can fascinate man's minds. There is no question about that, as I have found it myself, not only in European countries, but now also on the American and Canadian college and university campuses. I mean the secular campuses. And then, you see, when this absolute control has been attained by the Communist Party, then the great master plan is being put into action. Now, what does it mean? It's this. First, the economic environment, because that is the basic environment, that must be changed. And what must be changed in it? Any private property must be abolished. And when that has been done, then it's being proclaimed the property of all the working, toiling people. And everybody then is being asked to work for the benefit of all, and then in return benefit from what all have produced. And as communism says, in this idealistic economic environment, man will change from the selfish man who always strives to get more and more property, and then he makes others to work for him, and he pays them back as little as he can, and then takes the most for himself, which is the surplus value about which Karl Marx spoke, the robbing of the worker, and then further, while there is private property, you see, man struggles for world markets and so on. So all these things will be abolished. In other words, the root cause in human society of all evil thus will be taken out. Then that's not enough. Also, the psychological environment must be changed. And first, because in the capitalistic, the free enterprise system, men's minds have been impacted by such evil ideas as religion, belief in God, and in paradise or hell, afterlife, and so on, and also, for instance, patriotism or belief in ethical, moral principles as absolute principles, and so on. All these ideas, as communism explains, helped to cement and strengthen the old exploiting society. Therefore, all these ideas must be outrooted. Therefore, you see, brainwashing is not a cruelty, as often we misunderstand it. It is an absolute necessity. The field must be cleared of the evil ideas. And then when that has been done, then, you see, the right ideas must be implanted, the communist materialistic philosophy, ideology, and all their other ideas of their system. And thus, you see, you are being indoctrinated. And it's done very thoroughly indeed. Of course, in China, they use more rougher methods now. But in Soviet Russia, for instance, they have developed very fine methods, beginning with the kindergarten. Until you die, you are all the time being, in that way, you see, brainwashed and indoctrinated, you see, through all the media, either through the school or through the communications means, and studying of humanities and so on. And that way, you see, they say, they then clear the field and plan the right ideas, and then, you see, they ask you to write it out, speak it out, compete with one another who best has understood it. In other words, thus they mold you. Mold the new man. The new man. And communism thus says that then the economic environment without private property, they have made, of course, for the time being a compromise in this phase what they call socialism, that you have no means of production in private hands, but you can hold still your private property, but that's only in this struggle phase, while communism is still in struggle with world capitalism that will be abolished as soon as that has been reached, that goal. And so you see, in this new economic environment, plus the new psychological environment, man will then change into the new man. But of course, there still are obstacles in the way. The former employers, property owners, or those deeply religious people, or deeply patriotic people, or people who are so deeply believe in ethical moral principles that they cannot be brainwashed. In other words, they cannot be indoctrinated, they cannot be changed, and therefore they constitute cancer in the body social. And as such, you see, they must be eliminated. Therefore, you see, communism never says that it murders people. It does not do that. It eliminates and or liquidates at the worst. And therefore, as Stalin once admitted, if we had, as he said, to eliminate 100 million people to create a better humanity and world for 2,700,000,000 people, well, what's that? And not only Stalin said that, I met some professors on American and Canadian campuses who said to me the very same thing. They said, why do you get excited about this? Have more people perished under the system of capitalism than, say, when you have to do this to purify the society of all the evil elements and obstacles in the way? So you see, now then, communism says that through this master plan, this change economic environment, change psychological environment, and plus purification of the society of all the evil elements. In that way, you see, the new, unselfish, brotherly-minded man will come about, and when that will have been done the world over, the new humanity will have been produced, and the new world will come as a result. Now, of course, the crucial question is, 10,000 theories fall before one fact. And what are the facts? And of course, the most tragic answer is, and the communists have given it themselves indirectly, that there has not been produced neither 1,000,000, nor 1,000, nor even 10, these unselfish, brotherly-minded men through this tragic experiment carried out on a global scale. Up to the 20th Communist Congress, however, the communists always asserted that already there was at least one, and that was Stalin. But at the 20th Communist Congress, Khrushchev felt that he should tell the truth about Stalin, and so he told it. And of course, what he had to say was that Stalin, for the most ruthlessly selfish reasons, had executed, murdered, as he now said, his closest friends and allies, the top leadership of the Communist Party, for instance, the Politburo, with which he started out, the top communist leaders, 7 of them, he was one of them. Up to 1938, he had executed all of them except himself. At the Central Committee of the Communist Party, with which he started out, he had executed 70%. And down the line, the 19 top communist military leaders who had led the Red Armies to victories. He had executed 12 and so on. And down the line, thousands of the very elite of the new society. And instead, the most ruthless selfishness has been the rule of the day. And of course, Khrushchev is carrying it on. All the greatest communist leaders with whom he started out just a few years ago, most of them already are down in obscurity, as Kaganovich, Molotov, and Malenkov, and Marshal Zhukov, and all the rest. And when recently Khrushchev was asked, are they still alive? He said, well, I hope so, he said. But if they are not, he said, well, any person dies, so they might be in their graves. In other words, first down in the obscurity, and you see how much wiser he is than Stalin was. And then, of course, if they die, well, they have died. In other words, the same thing is continuing. The most ruthless selfishness that has yet been seen. Why? Two reasons. First, the basic concepts which communism presents and on which it tries to build its new humanity are absolutely wrong, as we know now in the light of modern research and studies. First, the materialistic philosophy, denying God and the spiritual realm and realities, now, as we know, is wrong. The human spirit has come back into its rights, and there is so much, more or less direct or indirect, proof and support of the fact there is a creator, God. And also now, we have learned of the immense importance of religion in human life, and so on. So human spirit has been rediscovered, the spiritual realm and God. Further, we also have learned in research and studies that environment cannot produce basic, essential changes, neither in plants, nor animals, nor humans, the less. And that all these changes can be brought about only secondary, third-rate changes only, but never basic changes, neither in plants, nor animals, nor humans. And even the Soviet biologists, for instance, some of whom, as Lysenko, try to prove that you can produce these basic changes in plants, even he found out that it is not possible, even though he still tries to prove it against all the proof that has been gathered, especially by the other researchers, biologists. In other words, thus, you see, the basic concepts are wrong, and therefore the communist great promise of producing the new man through a changed environment is foredoomed to utter failure. But not only that, worse than that, as history and sociological research has shown so clearly, that as Toynbee points out, what human history most clearly shows is the fact that there is what he calls, with a biblical term, original sin in man, or as the great German philosopher Immanuel Kant called it, the radical evil, or as the great Greek philosopher Plato already said more than 2,000 years ago, there are the wild beasts in the human nature. And sure, we who had to go to the communist and the Nazi ordeals and tortures and all the rest, we have seen it on our own bodies working. And as the modern school of psychology has shown, there is not only something evil, potentially evil, radically evil in man, but even something potentially demonic. And certainly, as we had to see how the most highly educated, cultured people could listen to the great music of Beethoven or Bach or Schubert, as you heard now, until 10 or 11 o'clock in the evening, and thereafter plunge into the massacre of millions of innocent children, or speaking about one night alone, into thousands of innocent Jewish children that were executed in the most ruthless way. Yes, we have seen it. You can say it was beastly. It would be an insult to the beasts. They have never done anything like that. It is sub-beastly. And you see further, as also this historical and sociological studies show, there has not been any other factor that could bring about a deep and profound change in human nature, but only effective religion. Now all this has been taken away in communism, and therefore you see the most ruthless and radically ruthless factors in human nature are thus let loose. As the great Greek philosopher Plato warned, don't let them out, these wild beasts. You won't be able to contain them. That's exactly what happens. But After the Communist Party has gained its absolute control over an Asian country, it develops something else instead. And finding that people will not vote for the one slate of candidates the Communist Party puts up to them, often among whom you find the murderer of father or mother, they then make it to, you are forced to do it at the risk of your life. And that's, you see, how they get the 99% votes, even now in Soviet Russia or elsewhere. The same way your life is at stake. Thus you become just a political slave instead of the new man. Then in the economic field, finding that workers will not just work for the benefit of all in return to benefit from what all have produced, because soon they discover that one produces so much more than the other. And therefore, of course, they will not be satisfied with the same pay, just with the general working for the benefit of all. So they stop working, the diligent man, and of course the whole productive process thus breaks down. Therefore,